scripture is going to come from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and then John 2, 1 through 11. Starting with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led astray to dumb idols. However, you may not have been moved. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then from the Gospel of John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage and with his disciples. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it, and when the steward of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we have come into this place to worship you, to hear your word. It is ever true today as it was yesterday. Speak to us now, Lord. We are here and we are listening. Fall fresh and anew on us today. For we are a people who have been created for today. Open our hearts, open our hands, and bring us into your time. for you are our concern. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. What concern is it of yours? Did you ever hear those words before? What concern is it of yours? You know, if we stop and we think about it, and some of the burning questions that we have been asking ourselves of late are some questions of what we as the church are asking ourselves of what concern of the church do we have? What concern of the church do we have in the here and the now? What concern do we have here as a building, as a people, as a community? Here in this town, where is our mission field? What concern is it that we have around us, with our neighbors? What kind of discerning moment do we have? Do we struggle with certain things? Do we wonder how we're going to have enough hands to do this, enough people to do that, enough money to pay the bills? And we wonder what our next is going to be. The truth is, every church has to ask themselves that same question over and over and over again. Just like a teacher has to ask themselves every year, what does a student know and not know? And when you evaluate their students, you know where to start teaching them, and you know what to build on and where to go from there. Jesus had not yet started his ministry, and yet he knew why he had come into the world. It's kind of like when you have gone to school for years and years, and you've gone all through elementary school and middle school and high school, and you're ready to graduate. And you're either going to go and start a job, or you're going to go to trade school, or you're going to go to college. But you're going to go do something. And whatever that something is, it's your next. It's your next. Well, Jesus was ready and getting ready for his next. Whatever that next may be. When students get to be in their maybe sophomore year, you start asking them, do you know what you're going to do when you finish high school? Maybe not so much yet, but their junior year, you start asking them a little bit more, especially in their senior year. What are you going to do when you graduate? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to go to college? Where are you going to go to college? What are you going to major in? What kind of job are you going to get? Sometimes they're just totally bewildered and they don't know what they're going to do. And I remember some students just being totally perplexed because they knew they were probably going to college, but they didn't know what they were going to major in. And I remember some students even knowing they were going to take a gap year. Now, I know that Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wasn't ready yet. And so in the second chapter of John, we see him do a sign. In John, we don't hear this called miracles. They're called signs. It's a sign of why he had come into this world to offer grace, to offer love. In the next chapter, we hear the famous words that we all know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? Well, Jesus did come into the world for that. To love you, to love me, to love so many. And at this point, his mom was starting to encourage him. How many of us had moms that always stood by us and encouraged us? Not that our moms didn't sometimes wag their fingers at us or chastise us. And the reality is that some of us had moms that didn't love us too. And some of us had moms that were abusive. Some of us had mothers that didn't encourage us. But Jesus came into the world to save us. So what concern is it of ours? What concern is it of the church? Well, I will tell you what the concern is of the church. You see, these are communion cups. And one of the things that we have in communion is a means of grace. And this grace that Jesus offers us is a way to make us whole. Because we are a group of people who are broken. And the other way that we are made whole is through baptism. Because there is nothing in this world that we can do to save ourselves. Nothing. And isn't it beautiful in this very first sign that he does? He uses water and turns it into wine. The two things in the sacraments that make us whole through him. Through him, in our beautiful brokenness, we are made whole. And as the family of Christ, that is what our concern is. We are to be offering love to our neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ. So to go back to the 1 Corinthians reading, you know, those Corinthians, they were nasty people. They were hateful people. They thought about themselves and themselves only. They took from each other. They stole from each other. And they lived in a world where it was number one first and forget about your neighbor. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of ourselves and put the oxygen mask on yourself first so you can take care of yourself and then take care of your neighbor. But what I am saying is we can do a better job. And when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is upon you. And each person who is a believer of Christ gets one, at least one of those spiritual gifts. When's the last time you used your spiritual gift? And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, come see me. I'll help you figure out what you have. And I'll help you learn how to use it. Even if it's one I do not have. This world is a good place because Christ is in it. This world is a good place because the Holy Spirit is in it. This world is a better place because you were made for a time such as this, and God has put you here for a purpose. What concern is it of yours? I just told you. Let us pray. Lord, it is a joy to be able to be here today and to be able to serve you. And this place has been here for 200 years, serving you in this community. May we open our eyes and see others as you see them. May we see ourselves as you see us. May we have a humble dose of humbleness. And may we have an honest dose of honesty. And may we have a very large dose of love, kindness, patience, and faithfulness. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.